Hey everyone, this is Caroline with the Expat Interview Thriving Abroad, where we bring you the most amazing, fabulous, beautiful people all over the globe that are doing amazing things. They're living their best life. They're living in places that maybe you've thought about sometimes that you'd like to live there, or you could see yourself living there. Today, I'm especially excited because we have someone who is living in a country that many expats decide to go to. But lately there's been some stuff going on, and I'm really excited that she's here to share some of, you know, give us the deets on what's happening there. Shelly, thank you so much for joining me. And Shelly, you are in Shanghai, China. And, you know, it's been all in the news lately, all over the place about what is happening with the expats there. And I was just hoping that you could just shed some light and, you know, clear up some of the misconceptions and some of the, you know, the rumors and stories, and give us the real 411 on what's happening there. So welcome.
All right. Thank you for the warm introduction. And yeah, I'm ready to discuss any questions that you have. So
great. So first of all, just give us a little background. Where are you from originally? You're an expat to China. Where are you from originally?
I'm from upstate New York. So born and raised there, and parents are from Jamaica. So that's a bit about my background. And then I've moved around a bit. I spent time in Europe, spent some time in China, Saudi Arabia, and now I'm back in China. This is year 3.
So you're kind of an OG expat, like we call them. You've been out for a while, right? Like myself. So, and you've been around the block a few times. So you kind of know what this, you know, this whole expat life is about. So getting into, and you've been in China, they're teaching?
Yes, correct.
And how has that been for you, you know, as a teacher? In China, an American, a Black American woman, how is it? I know that there's many, but in your personal experience, what has it been like for you?
You know, it's been mixed. I think with any expat, there's great days and then there's really low days. And I have to say it's no different. I definitely do feel a bit more xenophobia and racism with COVID and a lot of the restrictions that China's put in place. And it does get a bit uncomfortable. And I've talked about it with some Black girlfriends. They definitely do agree that living here can kind of be tough at this point in time. I do like my job. I work at a K-12 international school, and I think it's great. However, you know, we're also feeling the pinch with families moving back home, families moving to other countries. And pretty much we'll see what happens in the next few years.
So we've been hearing a lot in the news about the Chinese government closing the doors on online teachers. And that has been a source of income for thousands and thousands of expats, right? That, you know, that are living abroad. You know, this is like a something that they've been doing for years, this teaching English to Chinese children. And there's dozens of these agencies that offer it. So if you could just, you know, tell us exactly what happened. Is this just an overnight decision? You know, why did they suddenly decide that they wanted to end this type of program?
Good question. I think it's something that's been in the works now for quite a while. China is really trying to expand in terms of people having more babies. Believe it or not, China is an aging population. So they project in the next couple of decades, the majority of people will be over the age of 60. So right now they're really worried about that. So in July, they decided to enact a 3-child policy, which allows for families to have up to 3 children. And that was a step up from the 2-child policy of a few years ago. And getting back to your question on why they've been cracking down, people are just feeling the pinch. Having a child here is not cheap. A lot of people, you know, they're no different than other people in the world. They want to give their child the best education. the best programs, the best activities, things that will make them stand out and things that will make them competitive in a very, very competitive university landscape. But just like every place else in the world, those things do cost money. So the government has decided that a lot of these after-school programs and activities need to be pretty much abolished at this time in order to help save money for people to have more students, have children. So one of the industries that's hardest hit is the English teaching industry. And the government has decided to pretty much close up shop to those companies that employ overseas teachers. And I'm sure they have their reasons for why. Perhaps you could even make some guesses or some hypotheses, but at this time, some of those companies are having to pivot or even close in order to make sure they're within the government regulations.
So it's kind of these online agencies or classes are, they're just additional. They're not really considered part of their normal educational activities then. It's just strictly parents wanting their kids to have auxiliary education.
Correct. So that is the industry being hardest hit, is these after school activities, these after school programs that take place at training centers or after school activity centers. So they decided that core subjects, with English being one of the core subjects, cannot be taught in a large capacity after school.
So basically the government is saying, all right, stop spending money on things that really aren't that important, because they do teach English in the regular school system, correct? I mean, they do have normal English classes in there, or is it just for those that attend like an international school?
So there is some English lessons in the public school system here in China. And then there's also the bilingual schools, which are a mix of pretty much Chinese national curriculum and then a curriculum from another country, with America, Canada, UK curriculum being top ones, the top selections. And then there's the full continuum international schools that have their own curriculum or framework. It's kind of hard to say, like, the government said to do this. This is just the speculation that this could be one of the reasons why. Let's stop having these programs to save money. Or there may be a plethora of other reasons why they feel it's not sufficient. There's a lot of burnout right now in China, especially with the youth. There's a whole thing called the 996 culture, meaning that you should work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., so 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. And so that's, even children are feeling that burnout. It's not a bit uncommon for a person, like a student, a first grade student, to have maybe 2 hours of homework a day, an hour of math, an hour of Chinese character writing, Chinese language, and then, you know, this expands and gets worse as they get older. So I think they are trying to rein in this burnout culture to avoid, you know, health difficulties, maybe financial difficulties, yep, things that are going to be hard families.
Yeah, I know of a few people that have taught in these, you know, through these agencies, and they've told me the schedules for these kids are just, they're brutal. You know, from the minute they get up in the morning until they go to bed at night, you know, if it's not English, it's other languages as well, because they're really into other languages and studying. I mean, that's a big priority for the Chinese people. So, which is cool, but I hear what you're saying. I can imagine for a child that, you know, after a while it can be, I mean, if it's like that for an adult, I can imagine for a child after a while, you know, it's just, it could be overwhelming. So some of the you know, I don't wanna say rumors, but some of the talk out there has been that the government just wants to do away with expats. They don't want any foreigners teaching in their school system. Can you speak on that? I mean, is there any truth to that?
That's hard, because I can't speak on behalf of the government, because they never said, hey, let's get rid of all the expats. But I mean, it's hard not to notice that, number one, you see less expats than usual. I had a friend who lives in a southern city who's lived in China for close to a decade. She came to visit me over the summer, and one thing she noticed was, hey, it's Shanghai, but where are all the expats? I think we've seen three in a matter of 6 hours. You're seeing less and less, or excuse me, you're seeing more expats who are pretty much leaving due to a number of reasons. Right now, China has closed borders since March of 2020. So there are some people who are leaving and there are people who are coming back. However, it's not everyone, and it depends on the regulations back in your home country. Anything could happen at that time. And I think at this point, it's just that China is a full service economy right now. So there may not be that need for expats as there was maybe 20 or even up to 10 years ago. They have their own technology systems. They have their ways of, you know, finances. There's a lot of really cutting edge things that they're doing here in terms of high speed train networks, upping the infrastructure and ensuring that the unemployment rates stay low. So right now, you know, if anything, they've shown through this pandemic that we can do things on our own.
Yeah.
So
yep.
it is a bit difficult observing and seeing things, but right now all we could do is just keep observing and taking notes.
I also read recently that the Chinese government has an agenda, I guess you'd call it, for like 2030 something. They want all of their citizens to be middle class to upper class. So this perhaps could be part of that agenda too, to, you know, and I'm going to assume that the generation now are so well versed in other languages from all of these years past that they have come to a level where they can, like you said, they can pretty much manage themselves without having a lot of foreigners. So have you, I mean, in the grapevine, have you heard that expats have been maybe left out in the cold, or, you know, just left without resources? Or is that just talk, or are there people that maybe are moving to other countries nearby? What, you know, I've heard the stories that, you know, they were told, but these are by the agencies, but they were told, okay, tomorrow's your last day, no more teaching. Is it a pretty decent transition, easy transition to just find work somewhere else now?
That is a good question. Wall Street English, one of the largest adult training centers for teaching English, they've declared bankruptcy a few weeks ago. So right now, some of their doors are closing up. Yeah, they've had a slew of issues for the past few years, and they were hit with a major fine for false advertising last year, and now they just couldn't recover. So they're closing up their shops in all across China. A number of other training centers have had to adjust themselves in order to kind of remain competitive or even have the doors remain open. So I would personally say if you are a teacher at a training center, right now is the time to make a move, because since people can't really come into the country and they still need bodies in classrooms, some people have been able to make lucrative moves from a training center to maybe a bilingual school or some other kind of K-12 educational setting. And some of the teachers at bilingual schools have been able to transition into the full continuum international schools. So there is a lot of what we call musical chairs going on in the educational world. And also on the other side, I have heard stories of some people who have had to make quick departures. And some of it was because of, you know, hey, they were overstaying their visas. Maybe they were working on the incorrect visa. And also it was just their time to go. So you do hear a lot here on the ground. There's some different things occurring. And again, we're just going to watch and see what happens.
How does it look for you in the future? I mean, do you have your plan B, or are you pretty much stable right now where you are?
Yeah, I feel like right now I am stable, but again, I've always learned in this expat world to never depend on, you know, your host country. You never know what's going to happen. You never know when, you know, they roll out the red carpet and then they roll it right back up, you know, on you. So I always have a plan B. I'm in search of maybe new pastures in a different country. I have a short list of about 18 different countries that I'm looking at, or I may stay here and make a move to a different place. So I'm just weighing everything out. I'm actually getting applications done as we speak right before this interview. I'm quickly getting references together and getting, like, you know, mission statements and cover letters together. So it's right now, we'll see what happens, but I've given myself a deadline of in the next 8 months, you could either go ahead and leave or you could stay and see what happens here.
Overall, would you say for those that are looking or that were planning on teaching abroad, specifically in Asia, do you still feel that that's a good option to pursue in the next year or so? Or should maybe folks look into other continents or other countries?
I still think Asia could be a good bet. I think number one, it does depend on the location. So some countries are going to be a bit stricter to enter than others. For example, here in China, depending on the city you go to, you'll have to do 2 weeks hotel quarantine. You might have to bear that cost, or maybe your company will pay for it. And then maybe another week of quarantine at home. So that's something to keep in mind. I think if you're a certified or licensed educator from your home country and you're a single employee, meaning no spouse, no children, it will be a bit easier. Some countries are independent, so if you have also not a teacher, or if you have children, or if you're a single parent, then that's where the difficulty is going to come in. So I would tell anyone to pretty much do their research, think about what countries you want to go to, what right now restrictions do they have due to the current pandemic, what restrictions do they have due to maybe vaccine status or also your country of origin, and finally, a plan of how you plan to enter, and also a plan, if need be, how are you going to exit. And one thing that we didn't touch upon, but maybe you've also heard, is that China has those semi-closed borders. So are you going to be okay with being in the country for maybe 2 or 3 years without going back home? So, or going home and maybe, you know, maybe trying to get everything together that requires you to come back, which might be a visit to a hospital to get certain exams, a visit to the embassy to get clearance, and getting those codes to get on a flight. And that's even if there is a flight, because flights have been drastically reduced over the past year and a half. So I would say don't discount Asia, just know what you're getting into, do your research, and have an exit plan, well, an entry and an exit plan. That'd be my advice.
And that's a lot to cover, to think about. And of course, you know, I tell folks all the time, as expats, you always have to have a plan B. You know, I've been through some crazy situations myself, and that's just part of, you know, living abroad. There's the good and then there's the bad. And unfortunately, yeah, sometimes the bad, you know, stands out much more. I'm sure there might be viewers that may have questions. Are you open to someone contacting you if they, you know, if they're in a similar situation, or if they were planning, maybe they could reach out to you?
Sure. Definitely leave me an email. I'm on Instagram, Shelby Ann Travels. That's my main Instagram. I'm on Twitter, Shelby Ann Speaks. And you could leave an email at shelly.sesid@yahoo.com. So that's also my personal email. But either of those three ways, also Facebook, I'm Shelly Patricia. You could find me there and send me a message. And I'm glad to go over any questions you might have, any misconceptions you might have, any just pretty much general talk of becoming an expat, and especially if you're in education or different fields. I have a pretty wide network of people that I know that are on the ground in China as well as other parts of the world. So do contact me if you have any questions or need any guidance.
Thank you so much, Shelley. Thank you for staying up late to share this information with us, and you know, all the best on the ground. I hope that everything goes smoothly for you, and we'll have to follow you to see where your next adventure may be in the future, if you do have other interesting expat adventures coming up. But thanks again. And I will leave all of your information below so that folks can connect with you. Have a wonderful evening. Stay safe. And thank you once again for sharing and clearing up some of that information for us. Appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. It's great. I always love talking about my life abroad. I think it's great, and I hope I can be of help or be of service to some people out there. So I definitely enjoyed my time. I love to come back again. So it's good.
Thank you.